Well, I would like to be credited with a brilliant stroke of genius for scheduling a baptism and communion and a teacher appreciation Sunday all together. I guess it wasn't all that brilliant. And in fairness, Steve got his dibs in first and said, we want to have a teacher appreciation this day. And then when I mentioned the possibility of a baptism today, Robin, who helps with communion, said, you do know this is a communion Sunday. So I was duly warned, and I promise you I will try not to keep you long today. But I think there is something in all that we've done together today, in a baptism, a teacher appreciation, and then as we finish the service with communion, that makes this a unique family Sunday. And in the interest of time, I'm not going to belabor how wonderful the teachers are and all the volunteers who serve. Our church really is volunteers. The body of Christ is not the pastoral staff. It is all of us together. And you see that when you see people standing up here after vacation Bible school or for Sunday morning or whatever else. And the people that were up here are only part of those who serve. And on all of us have that responsibility. But I want to focus more on the two ordinances that we're celebrating today. The ordinance of baptism and the ordinance of communion. Now, if you're not familiar with that term ordinance, when we have newcomers class, I always tell the members of the class that in some churches, those things are called sacraments. But we call them ordinances. Neither term is found in the Bible, neither sacrament or ordinance. But ordinance just focuses on the fact these are things that Jesus ordained or he commanded for his church to follow. And so it's appropriate in many ways that the two ordinances that Jesus told us about, the ordinance to go into all the world and to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the ordinance that he passed on to his disciples. Remember in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, I pass on to you what Jesus passed on to me, and he explains the communion meal. So these are two things Jesus commanded, and it's appropriate that we can think about them together because in many ways they are at the heart of what the Christian family is all about. You see, in many ways you could think of the act of baptism as the introduction or the announcement of someone formally becoming part of the church family. And in many ways, communion is our church meal. It is our family meal that we have together. So I just want to say a couple things about that. As you think about this, it's a family service, a family celebration, and a very important day for our church family. I think there are three reasons why baptism is important and worth celebrating. There's probably more than three, but let me just give you three today. The first, as at the outset of the service, I announced the birth of Juan Carlos, Garcia's new baby. In many ways, regardless of when Sid and Brian and Robin and Natalie became Christians, this is their formal birth announcement. This is the public declaration of that inner commitment that they made, some of them a long time ago. And so when we come together and we have a baptism, what we're really doing is we're celebrating a new life, a new birth. And you know that when a baby is born, in a family, you can't miss a new baby in the family. There's a little extra crying, diapers to change, schedules to be mended, and all kinds of things that make it very clear that there's a baby in the family. But when somebody comes to faith in Jesus Christ, it's a personal thing. It's something that a decision they make between them and God. And yet, in the Bible, it's not meant to be just a personal, private decision. It is meant to be a public decision. And that's why if you read through the book of Acts, you'll find that every person who makes a profession of faith is baptized. It's a consistent testimony of the early church. They believed and they were baptized. So the act of being baptized, whether you're young or old, is an act of obedience that is really an act of announcing, I want the world to know that I've been born again. Jesus said, I read in that scripture early on in the service, that as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. And these are four people who have believed in Jesus. And in doing that, they are part of a new family. And so what we did this morning is a public announcement of really something that happened for some of them a while back. But that makes it special that we can celebrate this announcement together. Second thing that makes baptism significant is it announces that each of you who was baptized today is part of a new family. Not just the family of our church, though that is true, but the broader family. But I'm excited that you're part of this family, that you have made commitments of your lives before each of us. When I think about our church, we are a very diverse church. I sat down this week and I looked through the church directory, and I'm going to miss some, but these are all first-generation people. We have people from Brazil, people from Ecuador, people from Colombia, people from Guatemala, people from El Salvador, people from Mexico, people from Wales, people from Nigeria and Uganda and Angola and China and New Zealand and Italy and Germany. And those are just the ones I'm able to remember. And that's first generation. And then if we went second generation, I don't know how far we'd go, but we would pretty much cover the globe by our church. Our small little church has people from all those different lands. And when each of you made a commitment today in baptism, you're saying, I am a child of God, and I want to be connected to God's family. And so that connects you, as long as you're here, it connects you to our church family. But it also connects you to that broader Christian family that is in all of those places, in every place around the world. One of the things the Bible is clear about, it says that before the judgment seat of God, before the throne of God, actually, there will be people from every tribe and tongue and language and nation. And that's the broad family of God. So getting baptized today, Brian and Sid and Rob and Natalie, you may not have realized it, but you're saying, I am part of that family. And that's significant. And it's significant to us that you make that commitment. And it makes you part not only of First Baptist Church in a unique way, but more than that, it connects you to every other child of God, everyone else who believes in Jesus Christ and is trusted in him. So it's a special occasion because it's a public birth announcement, spiritual birth announcement, and it's a spiritual birth announcement that says, I am a child of God, part of the family of God. And it's not the formal commitment. We have a formal commitment to membership in our church, but you're part of this family, and we're glad that you're here. And the third thing that I think is important for you and for us as a church family today is that when we have a baptism, we're reminded that God wants us to be a spiritually multiplying church. That is, the very act of baptism is at the heart of our mission and our purpose as a church. In the bulletin, we put it every week that we are here to share God's love and hope to transform hearts and homes in Westchester and the world. And you heard the testimonies of how God has been at work in the lives of the people who got baptized today. Transformed hearts, and you all as transformed people have a challenge, as do all of us, to then share that hope and that love with other people. So God wants us to be a spiritually reproducing congregation. Now that happens all kinds of different ways, and one of the ways that it happens is through the ministry of the church. And that's where it fits in with all of those who are up here who teach our children. And some of you, as you shared your faith journeys, testified to how coming to First Baptist Church and being around other believers and fellowshipping with them and learning from them, that all of that has enriched and encouraged your spiritual life. And that's the way it should be. When you're part of a family, that family should help encourage and grow the family. But quite honestly, probably the most significant way in which people come to faith and grow in their faith is through their personal families, their individual natural families. It doesn't happen to everyone. Probably, I'm sure it hasn't happened to all of us in this church, but for some of you, you know the value and the impact of a family that follows God. That's why it's great to have Shirley and Jorge and their daughters sitting up here cheering on their daughter Natalie as she was baptized today. Because every parent who loves God is thrilled to see their son or their daughter taking that step of faith and making a public profession of their faith. And whether it's a wife, I know Madeline has prayed for Sid for a long time. Sid's been a believer for a long time. But I remember, Sid, we've talked about this, when you first came to our church, you really had no intention of ever joining in our church. And that wasn't my goal either. That's not the important thing. But I was excited to see you grow, and I saw that happen. And as that happened, you decided this is where you want to put your roots down. And I know that thrills Madeline to see that. And Brian, I haven't known you as well, but I've seen your growth and being in our small group. What a thrill it is for me to see and hear that the church has had impact on your life. So, and Robin too. Robin's been serving and helping with communion, but she really wanted to make a public recommitment of her faith today. So each of these people, in the context of our family, our church family, has been touched. But also in terms of personal families, we as families have a crucial role to play. You who are parents, you are the primary disciplers of your children. As neighbors, you have the opportunity to bring your family into being disciple makers in your community. But we celebrate family as we think about being made part of the family. Back in the 1800s, there was a man. He was an Irishman. He staggered past a church, drunk. And as he staggered past the church, I guess he'd had enough church experience and church knowledge that the words of the hymn that was being sung in church that night somehow resonated in his mind. And they sang a hymn that I don't even know, but I think the words were, "There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life on the cross for thee. Look, sinner, look to the one who was slain, to the one who died on the tree." And whether that would ever grab you, for some reason, it grabbed that Irishman in 1800s. And he committed his life to Christ. And he had a rather large family, and he shared his faith with his children, and his children all became believers. And one of his grandsons became a believer and married another Christian woman, and they had a small family. And I am the son of that family and the great-great-grandson of that Irishman. And I am here today because of the impact of a family. And then to be able to be here and to share my faith and to see how my family has impacted me, and then to be able to baptize each of you and to baptize my friend Sid, who has overcome alcoholism and been sober for 25 years. I think, what an interesting way how God took the son of an inebriated Irishman and allowed me to have an impact on the life of Sid Henry. All that is part of what this service is about. It's family. It is realizing in baptism, it is a public birth announcement of this spiritual commitment whenever it took place. It makes you part of a new family, and it reminds all of us that we have a spot, whether it's with our families, with our friends, with our neighbors, to continue to share God's love and hope. That's our call. And so if baptism is the birth announcement into the family, then communion is really our family meal. And so it's appropriate that as we end our service that we get to celebrate this family meal together. When Sue and I were first married, we lived for about 8 years in Wisconsin. We were in western Wisconsin, about 45 minutes away from where Sue's family lived. And we would take the 45-minute trip from River Falls, where we lived, to St. Paul, where Sue's mom and dad lived. And we would often have family get-togethers. It was at least a monthly occurrence. So we'd get together for birthdays and anniversaries and special holidays. And whenever we got together, there was always a meal. And Sue's mom was a great cook, so it was always a very good meal. And we celebrated all these different occasions together. Now, there was always a part of that celebration that involved a little bit of education of our sons. You might not know that today to see how they eat at the table, but we really tried to give them some etiquette as they ate. And we'd say, you know, if grandma made the food, this was never very hard to do because she was a good cook, but you needed to try to eat it. And don't take all of it, you know, pass it so that other people can. You know how it is if you have kids. There was that little etiquette talk that we would have. But those days have passed. Sue's mom and dad and brother are now gone. So we no longer gather at their home for that family meal. But we do have opportunities. This summer we'll be back in Minnesota and we'll gather with Sue's sisters. And there still is, in that occasion, something significant when we come together. And in a strange way, this is our family meal. We come together, it's not a full course meal, it's really more a token meal, token in the sense that it's just bread and grape juice that represent the bigger meal. But the most important part of this is not that it's part of a bigger Passover meal that Jesus had with his disciples, it's about Jesus. So I say to you as we come to this table that there are two rules of etiquette that I remind our church family frequently. If you're a visitor here this morning, this is not the table of First Baptist Church. This is the Lord's table. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you are a child of God. And as a child of God, if you are walking with Him, then we invite you, encourage you to celebrate this meal with us and to take it. The second thing that I often remind people as part of our family etiquette is because this is a family meal, we don't eat it individually, we eat it together. And so we eat it, we wait to drink the cup and eat the bread until after everyone has been served. It's simply our way of reminding us that this is more than just personal and individual. We're part of a family, the very family of God. So this morning as we gather together, this is a family celebration. We celebrate, ultimately, when you think about it, the same thing in baptism and in communion. We talk about being buried with Jesus in his death and resurrection, and we celebrate in this family meal the fact that Jesus died for our sins and gave himself for us. So as the men come forward this morning to take communion, let me just give thanks for this meal.